Blog Talk Radio.
Absolutely on top of the world. What's up, everybody? How you doing? This is Wardell Podge Jr. for Solar Records Radio, and I'm so excited to be here. I feel so blessed, and this is the beginning of the Solar Weekend here on Solar Records Radio. So thanks for tuning in and being a part with us. As we know, you have many other choices. Listen, today we're going to celebrate the sound of Los Angeles Records and talk about the legacy of Solar and how it blessed all of us. We do this every Friday, so if you didn't hear before, you get an opportunity every week to hear some of the stories that happen at Solar. So thanks for tuning in. We're going to have a great time today. Much love to all my friends around the world. What's up, Astrid? What's up? Greg's in the house, you guys. And, you know, those are the associate producers here at Solar Records Radio, and also my really close friends. And so we are just going to have a good time. Don Fleming will be in a little later, as I am going to have a good time this first hour. So any questions, anything on your mind, anything you, any thoughts that you have, feel free to send your questions in at either through my messenger, if you're my friend on Facebook, or solarrecordsradio@gmail.com, solarrecordsradio@gmail.com, and I will answer your questions. All right, guys. So, man, that's a cool song, The Whispers. That's Imagination by The Whispers, and my buddy had a lot to do with that song, and man, he passed away, but he wow, we were roommates, sort of. This is the funny thing, his name is Jerry Knight, by the way. Jerry Knight was a writer producer. He was also in radio, y'all remember radio, was on one side of the wall at A&M Records, and I was on the other side of the wall at A&M Records. So this is after Solar, when we became really good friends. But in the process, as you can see, that we were writing and producing records together for the same artist before I ended up signing and working with Solar. And so it became our relationship grew. We got closer and closer, and, you know, we just became homies. We started doing Bible study and all that stuff together, and it was just great, and I truly miss him. He is a good brother, but he got sick, and unfortunately, he didn't make it. So, but that's life, right? And so that's why we have to show our appreciation for each other while we can. Right? Don always says, I want to give you flowers while you're here. You know, we need to be respectful and loving to each other, because you just never know when it's going to be our time to go home. Right? So, but anyway, I am going to have a good time, and I just want to celebrate my friends that were here, that did do a great job, that really blessed us all, and they're not here anymore. So it's more of a celebration of life for them here on Solar Records Radio. We're not trying to be sad or depressed or down or anything like that, okay? So trust me, I'm going to continue to keep their legacy alive here on Solar Records Radio. I see I got questions coming in already. So the first Shalimar Trio with Joe Brown, do you know why that was short? And Howard came into the group's lead vocalist. So that's a very intimate question, because there was friction at the time between Gerald Brown and what Dick Griffey wanted from Gerald Brown. It was short-lived. Okay, yeah, sorry, I didn't see that. So there was friction, and they were actually on the road. Shalimar was on the road. This was around the time Take That to the Bank album was out, and they were on the road in New York at this time, just doing promotion for the new record and stuff. And so, but because of... you know, Gerald did not agree with what they were asking him to do. He took a stance and says, I'm not doing that. And you know, and everybody has the right to their feelings. And he just didn't feel, I won't get into the particular because it's not my business to share somebody else's business. But that's the basic answer, is that they disagreed as to how things should go down, and he made a stance and he stood by his decision. And so he decided he's not going to do that that way. And so him being the lead singer probably felt, you know, like he had leverage and, you know, we're going to work, you're going to work this thing out because I'm the lead singer and it's not going to happen without me. Well, Dick Griffey had other plans, and you know, Dick Griffey's kind of like he was a tough kind of guy. He was like, listen, you ain't gonna do. I'm running this show. I'm the boss, and I'm running this show. I'm not gonna let anybody. You're not the tail. Is not gonna lead. You're not gonna lead from the tail. We lead from the head. And so, in the meantime, Howard Hewitt was in the process of doing some work with Motown, and he was about to. To sign with Motown, and then he got a call that while he was in the meeting at Motown, and that meeting in Motown, Howard made an excuse and said, "I need to go and I got to go and check on my car, make sure I got coins in my car, you know, in the meter outside." So instead of going to his car, he went downstairs because we were all in the same building. Solar was in the same building as Motown. And we were on the 9th floor and they were on the 11th floor, I believe it was. And so so he went downstairs and he talked to Dick, and Dick said he wanted to see him, and you know, and I had him say, "Come over, and can you come over to my house tomorrow and sing?" You know, just so I could get an idea. I heard about you, and so I was like, "Cool." So the next morning, Howard went over and auditioned. He said, "Sing something," and so Howard started singing. And I can't remember the song he sang, but he told the story many times, and he sang the song for him. I think it was a James Ingram song. And Dick just said, "Hold on 1 second." Dick went upstairs, grabbed the wad of money, came back downstairs and said, "Hey, this is, you know, this is a token of my appreciation. This is airline tickets. I need you to go to New York, join the group out in New York. They're doing a promotional tour. I need you to go out there and finish the promotional tour with them." And so Howard was like, "Okay." And so that's how that happened. So I hope I answered your question. And in the meantime, I was on a bus. And from Philadelphia to Los Angeles, and went to meet with Leon Silvers, and met with Leon Silvers, and immediately we started recording. After I got past the audition stage, and so then we started recording, and the first song that we recorded was Second Time Around for Howard Hewitt and Shalimar. And so when Howard and them came off the road, the first thing he recorded for Solar was the Second Time Around. So, you know, that's our connection, because he and I both got there at the same time, working for Solar, and we were blessed because of it. And that's one of our stories that we get to share and talk about, as it was meant for us to come together as friends. And he's just, you know, him and I have been really good friends for many years, and I love him and I appreciate him for always being there for me. As a matter of fact, he was there for me so much that he gave me vocal lessons for weeks. It didn't work, but at least he tried, right? And I tried, but it just didn't work. So thanks, Howard, for blessing me. I appreciate you, man. Anyway, so like I said, thanks for that question. If you have any more questions, please feel free. I will answer them as we go through the show. And so speaking of Shalimar, let's keep it going.
But it don't mean
I really love that song. And that's Dynasty, and it was produced by Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis for us. And so we were really being blessed back then, right? Like, we had some real top producers over at Solar, just Less and Babyface in L.A., Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, and the great Leon Silvers himself, you know. And so, and it was on and on and on, and everybody else just started. Steve Shockley and Otis Stokes, Dynamic Duel, they just, it, you know, was producing Lakeside, and it was just, everyone was coming into their own. Dynasty ended up being all writers and producers. Leon developed that whole situation through Silver Spoon Productions, which was absolutely amazing, you know. I mean, you know, that's a lot to have to manage on top of producing all these other groups. Leon had a lot on his plate, and I think it must have been an amazing feeling for him to feel so wanted and needed simultaneously from the record companies all around the world. And so he said, you know, because people started coming, because wherever the hits were coming, whoever is putting out the hits, that's who the companies were going to. Because at that point, it started changing from the songwriters and the A&R people to the producers. It became a producer's world. It was all about the producers. And that was one thing that I'm grateful for, that a lot of the stuff that Leon did was inside of Solar. So the sound was consistent inside of Solar. So Solar was able to develop as a specific sound, like Motown was able, and Philly International, they had, you know, these producers all in the same house and doing and working with the same artists, and it kept it in. But then, you know, as time went on, you know, everybody started producing different artists from different companies. And this, and I'm talking about, I say everybody, I'm talking about the producers, the hot producers, and then everyone started sounding like each other. Instead of just there being a Solar sound or there being a Philly International sound or a Motown sound, everybody started sounding like wherever the producer went, you sound like that producer, you sound like that producer, and it wasn't the record companies anymore. And I think that's part of what caused our companies to fall apart. Let me see, I have something here. Do you remember how difficult it was in the early 80s to get back music, R&B, music/R&B played on MTV? And how frustrating was this, and how much did Michael Jackson influence that change in MTV with Thriller? And so, you know, to thanks for the question. Great question. So the frustration was more on the people that were like Dick Griffey, the executives. And, you know, I, at that time for me, it wasn't because I wasn't really aware as a songwriter, as a new songwriter and just trying to get in the business. But I believe that the companies, the people that have been out there for a while that have been trying, and MTV just came out of nowhere, and then they just was kind of huge, and but it was all white artists, basically rock and all that stuff, and they were not playing R&B. And so Michael Jackson to insist, well, actually, it wasn't Michael Jackson. It was the owner of Sony at the time that insisted that if you will not play Michael Jackson's Thriller on your station, then I'm taking all my pop artists off of your station. So that was really the turning point. And from what I understand, it was going down like that, and it was really bad. It was like, what? You know, who does he think he is that he can pull this? And it's like, at the same time, he's like, who do you think you are that you can deny artists based on your skin color? And so it changed. I think it was Tommy. And I think he's the one that changed that whole thing and fought for Michael Jackson's Thriller. And once it was on there, it blew up. It blew up. And you couldn't deny the black artist anymore. Michael opened the door. His music opened the door. Thanks to CBS or Sony Records for doing what they did and standing behind him and pushing for rightness, for righteousness, and what the right thing was done, and we all were blessed because of it. So thanks for that question. It's crazy, huh? I mean, we're still dealing with that. Why can't we get past race? Why is race such a problem? Why can't we just love each other and be respectful to one another and learn from our differences, as opposed to deny each other because of it? It's the stupidest thing. It's very lame, as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, guys, we're going to keep this music going here on Solar Records Radio. I know you guys love the Solar stuff, so I'm going to keep giving it to you right here on Solar Records Radio. So let's do that with, y'all remember, you know, Babyface and them, as they were doing their thing with The Deal. Man, The Deal was something else. Very, very special. And we just had Carlos Green on here a couple of weeks back from The Deal, one of the singers. And much love, Carlos. God bless you, brother. Hope you are good and well. And thanks for coming on Solar Records Radio and blessing us. But anyway, here we go with The Deal. And thank you so much, Carlos. We love you, brother. Let's go.
Still in a no parking zone. If you don't get a move on that body, I'll be forced to give you a ticket. So get with it.
Just that, a Mr. Meaner. As the Silvers. Man, oh man. I tell you, that music is just very special. And that song actually didn't even, that was Foster Silvers, actually. It was written for the Silvers, but Leon decided he wanted to give it to Foster to start, you know, Foster's solo career off. And it did very well for Foster. And I don't think the Silvers were too happy about losing that song because they wanted the song for themselves. But Leon being the boss, big brother, he made the calls and he was the writer. So, and I think it was a good decision. And so it's all good. Anyway, let me see. Let me look at my block I just played, you guys. I really enjoyed that block. Hey, Greg got his 45, his new 45 from Dynasty. Yes, 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 yes. All right, Greg. Thank you so much. Congratulations. I'm glad you got it. And I hope it didn't take too long as the shirts are now. I just got a message saying the shirts are available now, Wardell, because I've been wanting the new Dynasty shirts. They're long sleeve, and they're black with the album on the front of it, and the name of the group is going down the side of one of the sleeves. I was like, ooh, I like that. I want that. And so I said, when are we going to get that? When is it coming? It's coming. So I just got a message that the shirts are here. So anybody, if you guys want to buy any of the stuff like Greg just did, which he's amazing, if you would like to purchase any of the product from Dynasty's new album, or, you know, any of the gear you can just go to AustinBoogieCrew.com, AustinBoogieCrew.com, and you'll be able to get our new 45. Guy Greg posted it as well, so it's nice to have that 45. Greg, I wonder, does it have that vinyl smell that you're so in love with? Can you share that with me? I got to get Astrid one too, because she needs to have one too. Astrid, do you have a 45? I mean, do you have a record player? I don't think so. I bet she don't have a record player. But anyway, listen, guys, I'm going to answer some more questions. And like I said, if you have any questions, please feel free to go to our page. You could leave the question on the page if you want. Or if you want to email me at solarrecordsradio@gmail.com. Or you could go to my messenger and just leave the message in the messenger. The producers kind of control the messenger, boy, because they all over. I have to stay on their pages more. So let me see here. I had some questions, and I want to read it. It was a pretty interesting question. One second. Give me a second here. You hear us in the background? Which the Silvers. I love that. That's Dynasty doing the music, and Roden and Leon produced it on the Silvers and stuff. So, but that's Dynasty in the background. All right, so let's see here. Yes, there's a lot going on here in these questions. So I want to talk about the. I'm gonna take the last question first. So can you talk about how the different songs were mixed? And how different they sounded from the beginning in the studio to the final cut. Which songs stand out in your head and why? Man. Okay. So let me do my best. So it was amazing. I got to tell you that part. Like so just imagine you in my shoes, okay? And we're going to go down this adventure together. I had no idea. I was new, too. I was a new kid on the block. I've never experienced this. And so I get in, and I'm recording drums on all these records. And so we're constantly recording. And so then finally we leave Studio Masters, and Leon says, oh, we're going over to the to Larrabee in West L.A., and I go, okay. And he says, you know, I was, Leon and I were roommates. So I was like, everywhere he was, I was there. So we went over to Larrabee and go in the studio. Now, Steve Hodge was our engineer and our mixing engineer. So he's a sound engineer and a mixing engineer, but also Bob Brown was the engineer as well. So sometimes we would have so many things going on simultaneously because of the demand. And so Bob Brown would stay at Studio Masters in Beverly Hills. Then we go over to West L.A. and to Westlake Studios to for the mixing and the mastering. Well, the mixing. And so we get there, and I go, I'm listening to it, and I go, wow, that's us. It was like a whole. It was like a whole other story. I could not believe it. It just like I couldn't believe. And I mean, it was like you took your clothes to the cleaners and they got them back and they looked brand new. I mean, the song was cleaned up. All of the little spots that were there, they cleaned it all up. They EQ'd it perfectly. They get the balances and the as perfect as they can get them, the balances and stuff. And so when you're sitting there listening to it, when I was listening to it at first, I couldn't hear anything but the whole thing, because my brain hadn't developed that producer engineer skill to be able to separate everything. So I would just, I remember just hearing everything coming at me and go, wow, that's amazing. So it was hard for me to understand when Leon said, what about that part? Can we do that? Can we lower that? Can we, you know, maybe tweak that or do something? And I was like, what is he talking about? And what I remember, I was constantly there and I started learning, you know, and I started seeing it and dividing it, and it started breaking down the song. It was just like this unbelievable moment where I was able to see how it was, he was able to break it down into pieces. And then I could start to hear the individual instruments clearly, much clearer. Before it was just a blur. Everything was together. But as a producer and an engineer, you have to be able to break all that stuff down simultaneously. You have to be able to hear everything individually at the same time. And then that way you can fix those things. And so then it was a beautiful experience for me to learn that. It was beautiful to watch this moment happen, and it's even more beautiful to go back and talk about it, because I don't talk about it. I just experienced it, and that's why it's good to talk about your experiences, because you have a different perspective. When you're going through something, it feels a certain way, but when you revisit it, then you can, it's like, whoa, man, that was me on that ship. That was me, you know, moving around and learning all these things and figuring it out. So it's a whole nother perspective going back to revisit it. So thank you so much for that amazing question. And I got to tell you, I got to give you the props. That came from Greg, okay? That came from Greg. So thanks, Greg. That's an amazing question. I love that you guys give me this time to do this with you, because it's really so informational, right? And you get to figure out what really happened, and I'm like, wow, this is what really happened. We get to talk about it here on Solar Records Radio. So thanks, Solar, for giving us this opportunity to talk about it, to chop it up and stuff. So as time went on in my career there as, you know, drummer and songwriter, and then I was learning how to produce, you know, under the wings of Leon Silvers, I remember telling Leon, I want to write too, because I remember I told you guys what Will did to me. Will Shelby, rest in peace, Will, love you. Remember I told you what Will did to me? I was like, how did you come up with this? How did you come up with a brand new Mercedes? And here I am riding around in a brand new 10-speed. And I was feeling good about myself until you pulled up in the Mercedes. What is going on here? And then he said, well, the songs, Wardell, that you've been playing on, I've been writing. I was writing them. So I'm getting, you know, not just the session money, but I'm also getting writer's royalties. I'm like, whoa, I got to start doing that. And so that's what I started doing. And I remember going to Leon and said, man, I want to write songs. And, you know, and Leon being so cool about it, he was like, hey, Wardell, if you really want to do that, you know, all you got to do is get a keyboard, you know, and just start, you know, doing some, you know, figuring it out and stuff. And he said, I'll help you along. And I was like, okay. So see, that's the story inside the story, right? I love the stories inside the story, because they mean so much, because they are what creates the story. The stories inside the stories are the ones that create the stories. They are the foundation of the stories. And so it was a beautiful opportunity that Leon had given me. And he said, hey, listen, this is all you got to do. And so I was like, okay, cool. So I went and bought me a piano. And it was a cheap little piano, because, you know, I was, like I said, Will was getting all the money. I was like, how did he do that? And so I got me a decent little piano, Casio piano, and then I started writing grooves. And so, you know, I'm going to play you one of the first songs I did with that Casio piano, and it was fun. It was to watch Leon develop my song from scratch. And when I say scratch, it was scriggity scratch scratch. it was scratchy scratch, right? But you know, for him to say, okay, just do this, do that, and I already had like kind of the idea of structure, because I've been playing on so many songs that I understood, okay, verse, change, chorus, verse, change, chorus, double chorus here, let's do a bridge. And so I knew that just from playing on all those records. This is where we go next, and this is where we go next. And so I was ready for that, but he just had to just kind of guide me in terms of, okay, Wardell, so now what I need you, you know, let me, actually, I'm going to tell you the real truth. He took my song and did most of the stuff himself. And then, but he had me come in the studio and play my parts, right? So I played my parts on these songs. And that was a blessing that, you know, he gave me, let me do that. And because that was part of the developing thing. And so I'm going to play one of the first songs I wrote, period. One of the first songs I wrote. And Leon gave me this blessing and this opportunity. And this song is featuring our own from Dynasty, Miss Linda Carrier. Here we go.
Thank you.
We got some long songs from back in the day, man. We used to let it go. We didn't know when to stop. It was feeling so good. So, but we also got Mr. Don Fleming on the line. What's up, Don?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Let's go all the way, all the way. Got the whispers in the background. Hanging out with Don Fleming here on Solar Records Radio. How you been, my brother? How's things for you?
I am good. Just hanging out on a Friday. Actually, I got a couple of things I need to do, but I wanted to come on for a quick second and say hi and hello to all the listeners out there. And just celebrating today like we usually do.
Absolutely. Always, always here on Solar Records Radio. I enjoyed your show last night. Great show, by the way. That was fun.
Man, I appreciate you dumping some of that 60s music in the show.
I went all the way back to the 60s. I am old. But it is so good. It's so good. I can't deny it, man. You guys, if you didn't get a chance to listen to the show, Don, did you post it on my page yet? Or did you just
hear it? I'm going to post it right now. I got a little time, so I'm going to go ahead and post it right now.
All right, post it on my page, because that show last night was really good. You did a great job. I mean, how, you know, the music, and you gave me some opportunities to squeeze in some of my old music in with your old music, and it was good. It was a nice combination. It's great.
It really was, because I love the fact that you were able to, again, and you incorporated a lot of the, you know, we have the same taste, but it's like if you go back into the 50s and 60s or whatever, you probably, you know, you're listening to the music that I would have listened to or I listened to, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was a great combination, and I appreciate you. And I remember, you know, I was, went downstairs to make a sandwich too, so you covered for me, so I appreciate that too.
Yeah, guys, and I told on myself yesterday. I really put myself out there. I told how bad I was as a young man, because on the earlier show, when Don came in on my show earlier that day, that show yesterday, we talked about jealousy, and boy, and I talked about how I messed up, because we have to remember that, you know, sometimes we can make people jealous, and not intentionally, we just do sometimes, and we got to be careful about our movements, because, you know, and when I say it's not intentional, I mean, that's real talk. Sometimes, you know, because we could be really friendly, a little too friendly, you know, for mm-hmm. your partner, you know, it's like, come on, you're a little too friendly. You need to chill. And then the first thing that come to our mind is like, oh, you're just jealous. Like, when you need to stop that. You don't have to hug everybody and kiss on everybody. You see, you know. And but in my case, listen to this. I met this girl. I really liked her, and she was a violist, and she played viola. The other word I tried, it just didn't come out. And it's a little bigger than the violin. And I was a jazz drummer.
Yeah.
I was 16 years old, and I was like, man, I really enjoyed her. And so one day she came over to my house, and she brought her girlfriend with her. And my friend saw her girlfriend. And he was like, why don't you hook me up with her? Then we could do like a double date thing. And I was like, yeah, let's do that. So I told the girl that I was seeing, I said, you know what, I need to talk to her and see if she'd be interested in my friend. And she says, I don't know if she'd be interested, but you could try. And I said, okay. And so she gave me a number, and I called her. And next thing I know, this girl is liking me. And then next thing I know, instead of going, okay, this is not going to work, I start liking her too.
Now
what did I do? And so then we all got together. We were in the car together. And so my friend, it was sitting behind me, and she was sitting next to him. And the girl that I was with was sitting next to me in the front. And as we were driving, and I looked through the rearview mirror, and she's just staring at me with those eyes. I'm going, what is going on? Well, she's giving me the googly eye. And so then I got, so later that night I called her. I said, what are you, why are you staring at me like that in the mirror? She says, because I can't help it. You make me happy. I'm like, oh, no. I was like, I didn't know. I never had that kind of effect on a girl before. So I was excited.
You know what? And it's crazy because with me, I had a similar story, and I was in band. And I had, you know, I didn't have a girlfriend. I couldn't get a girl to save my life, but I had a lot of female friends. You know, it was like, ain't nothing wrong with a lot of them. You know, asked, you know, if I was gay or whatever and all of that. You know, it was kind of like that gay friend, but I'm not gay.
Right.
Kind of
like
that friendship I was having with girls.
Right.
So there was one girl that, you know, we went to different junior highs. So when we came to high school, we went all to the same high school. But we knew each other from the different junior highs, and we kept in touch. And I was friends with all of her girlfriends and from the band or whatever, from our opposing junior high band. So we all consolidated into our high school. And we're still joking and yada, yada, yada. No big deal. Senior year comes. I had a friend that he went to a school across town, but at the same time he lived right behind us, you know, in you know where I live, and he said, yeah, can you hook me up with your friend in the band? I'm like, yeah, I'll hook you up with her. No big deal. So I hook him up. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you what, we went to go see House Party 2. And but I didn't have a date, so I was like, well, he wants to go on a date with you. And she was like, well, I'll be a little more comfortable if you win. And I'm like, well, I'm a third wheel. I'm not trying to like go and, you know, interrupt y'all stuff, and plus I don't have a date. She's like, well, just go with me. I don't really, you know him like that, but I do, you know, I think he's cute, blah, blah, blah. But can you come? I said, okay. So I went with her, and, you know, I went with them. They had a good time, yada, yada, yada. About 2 weeks later, I get a call from her, and she's like, you know what? I was hoping you'd ask me out. I'm like,
oh,
what you
God.
Mean? I had a crush on you since eighth grade. Now, mind you, we're in the 12th grade. We about to go.
Wow.
Is, you know, and I'm like, wait a minute. We were all friends hanging out. I mean, I was like that gay, not gay friend, you know. So, and it was pathetic. It was no big deal. You're like, nah, I always had a crush on you. I wish you would have asked me out. So now I started getting feelings and, you know, but, you know, I just, you know, love is life is love, I guess.
There you go.
Yeah.
Man, I tell you, you just never know, right? I girls are kind of slippery. I get it. It's a guy show, so I can say that. Girls are kind of slippery because, you know, this girl told me, she said, she told me, she says, well, you know, when I first met you, I knew we were going to be an item right away. I go, what? Who do you think you are? I said, you made me go through all that. I had to take you out to dinner 55 times, you know, and do all this stuff. And you knew? I said, why'd you make me do all that? Why don't you just say it right then and there? So girls are slippery. You guys are. Y'all are stressing us guys out for nothing, dragging us through the mud. She had a crush on you since the eighth grade, and here you are in high school, in the 12th grade, and she just telling you, come on. Girl.
You know how girls are, just, you know, especially in school, girls are more comfortable. I guess they're more comfortable with gay men than quote-unquote heterosexual men. You know, I was a heterosexual male, but they treated me like that gay friend. I guess they were comfortable with me because we always joked and had fun. But, you know, I didn't really like, it wasn't that I didn't see girls like that. Man, I was trying to get a date. I You know, it was one of those things where you almost wanted to beg to get a date. But no, I was into school. I was into the band and you know, and getting ready for, you know, college prep and stuff like that. So I didn't really felt like I had time for that, even if I wanted it. But I started getting those, teenage feelings for a girl that I knew was cute. And I, mm-hmm. Had fun with every time me and her girls were with the all region band or all region whatever, you know, we always had fun. We'd always joke. And it wasn't like that. But until, you know, it was that song. It's a song. There's a song by Music Soul Child. I'm sure the listeners probably know about it. I don't know if you do because you're into that 90s, early 2000s R&B. But Music Soul Child had a song called Half Crazy. And it was kind of like that. When we were friends, there was no, you used to laugh. Now you get mad. I just want my friend back. You know, it was one of those things. You know, things that weren't emotional then got emotional when they started liking, when we started liking each other.
So
that was just a slippery slope, you know, dealing with, you know, a friendship, dealing with a girl that you like. Well, a girl that you like to, you know, as a home girl or whatever, and say, hey, I can introduce you to all the men you want to that I know that you like that might find you attractive, but I never knew on God's green earth that you had a crush on me since eighth grade. I would have acted on it.
Yeah, they won't tell you. Well, let's get back. I have more questions and stuff from the listeners. And man, oh man, that's boy, oh boy, I tell you,
my life is so pathetic.
Oh, stop it. You're not alone, my brother. So get over it. It's all good. What's the difference between the mixing and the mastering? That's one of the questions. And the answer to that is, okay, so when you're mixing, and I was telling you guys, when we're in the studio mixing the song, they're trying to EQ each part and, turn the volume, get the level right on that part. You know, they're going to pan it over to the left or they're going to pan it to the right. And so it's that's mixing, you know, wanting to make sure that it everything is where it belongs in the song, you know, in terms of the level and all that kind of stuff, and the location, whether it's panned to the right, left, in the middle, you know, wherever. Mm-hmm. But with mastering, the difference between mixing and mastering is when you take the whole song. Now you got the whole song in the machine, and now there's a left side and a right side, the left and the right, and now you're EQing the record, the whole record. Everything is being, you know, once you're turning those knobs, you know, you add a little bass on it, you get the whole thing is getting bigger. You add a little treble, the whole thing is getting brighter. You add a little mid-range, the whole thing. And so you have to really know how to do that. Now, in the mastering lab, there's a gazillion of those little knobs because they can move stuff. Just, you know how we have our little equalizers. Y'all know the equalizers you have in your home systems. They have all the lights on it, and, you know, you push one up, push up. You know, a lot of times we have no idea what we're doing. We just want to make it look nice, make it like a local wave or something. We don't know what we're doing. Right? But these guys in the mastering lab, they are very good at, you know, they use these knobs and they turn it, and they could actually turn up frequencies, things that are in the same frequency, and pick specifically which one they want to turn up, like as opposed to turning up the guitar. They could turn up the vocal through the EQ. It's like, what? Can you do that? How is that possible? And so, but they're able to do that through the EQs and stuff. So So mixing and mastering. And mastering is the completion of your recording. That's what actually goes on to the CDs and on to, you know, on to or albums or whatever it is, the record. So that is the record. So that is the final say. And that was always great to be there. Because at that time, we probably heard the song about 1,000 times. Like, okay, I'm so tired of hearing this song. And this is the amazing thing. You heard the song a gazillion times. You're burnt out. You're just tired. And next thing you know, you hear it on the radio. It's like all new again. Like, oh, there it is. There's a song. You know, it starts all over again. It's this new excitement and stuff. So, yeah, that's what I love about music. It just keeps going and keeps growing. Let me see here. Do I have any more questions here? Yes, the vinyl has that smell. Oh, okay, so that's the answer. I was asking because Greg just received Dynasty's 45, and I asked him, does it still have the same smell? And he says, I could practically smell the music before I played it. He's a nutcase. He is so into that vinyl. He said he could smell the music before he played it. So it's all good. Thanks, Greg, for buying. And you know what? Because this is our show, we are going to play Dynasty's single, the B-side or the A-side. I'll let Don tell me. Which side should I play, the A-side or the B-side of Dynasty's new single?
Play the B-side.
Play the B-side? Okay.
Yes, sir. Play the B-side.
Okay, so I'll play the B-side of it. So that what's up on the B-side? What's up with you in the B-side? You play a lot of B-sides. I noticed that in your show.
There you go.
You got a thing with the B-side.
Not a B-side, baby.
Yeah. Who are you?
You know what? I've always been, even, you know, with like 45s or whatever, I've always been like fan of B-side, you know, music. The A-side, you know, that's the song that's out. That's the song that everybody's trying to push and pull for. But when you listen to those B-sides, like, you think about Prince. Prince had some of the greatest B-side music. I mean, he's a genius. His music is the greatest. So, I mean, that really goes without saying. But some of his B-side work, even from the, like, Erotic City and you know, just a lot of great, great music from Prince that was B-side music. You know, maybe I'm just a partial to B.
Well, I got to tell you this. From a songwriter's point of view, it was always a blessing to be on the B-side. If you didn't get the A-side, to be on the B-side would be a blessing. And the reason that is because you get the same royalty. You get the same royalty. So how many ever records did the A side sell, the B side sell? Because they are connected. They're one. That's like husband and wife. 50-50, baby. We're going to split this baby right down the middle. So so the only difference financially is the airplay, because the single is on the radio. So that's a different royalty altogether. So, So even somebody wanted me to ask Don what B-side is better than the A-side.
That's a good question. For example, you think about Prince's, I want to say Computer Blue, from the other side was 17 Days, if I'm not mistaken. 17 Days was from the Purple Rain album, but it wasn't released on the Purple Rain album. It was just a B-side release. So 17 Days was a great song. I play it on my show. That's one that's a good B-side. I'm not going to particularly say it's better, but it's something to really just be like, "Hey, why didn't he release that as a, you know?" But you think about songs like 17 Days on that, even some, most of the hip-hop B-side songs that I you know, your fans might not even know about. I'm just like De La Soul,
They had a lot of B-sides from their De La Soul Is Dead album from 1991. So, I mean, it had a lot of great music, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. All right, guys. So my friend Norman Beavers, the keyboard player for Lakeside, he was glad. And it's something strange. He would always get the B-sides of some of the hit songs that came out. Like, he had the B-side to And the Beat Goes On. He was enjoying his royalty check. He's like, yeah, y'all might not know who I am, but my checks are rolling in. I was like, man, that was another thing that I learned about, not just writing songs, but get the B-side. But anyway. All right, so let's keep this thing going. I want to play the B-side. Speaking of B-side, listen in the background. Can you hear that? Let's Dynasty. That was fun. Oh, I love that. That's called Still a Thrill by Dynasty. But anyway, Still in Love is what we're about to play for you right now, the B-side of Dynasty's new single on ABC Records.
You know I'll still think about you, baby. Where will you be tonight? I'm in love.
Overtime, you know I'm still thinking about you, baby. Where would it be tonight? I'm in love with you. leave my condo to come to this. Well, I'm back, but this time it was my man. And these women are putting their hands all over his Yamamoto Kanzai sweater of the iPod. And I'm much, much unhappy about that. I'd hate to come down to the level and become a BW, a basic woman. But if they don't stop, it's gonna get scandalous.
Climax here on Soul High Records Radio. Woo! Okay, so let me get to this real quick here. Don Fleming said he made a mistake, and he wanted me to correct it. He said, correction, 17 Days was the B-side of When Doves Cry. When Doves Cry. Okay, got it done, my brother. So, and I love that song, When Doves Cry. I remember I was, I was having a good time. I was young and just I remember being in, where was I? Good gracious. Westlake. I was in Westlake and the music was just bumping in the back. Oh, this is just party time. And we just had a wonderful time back then. And it was awesome. I was always out partying, driving my Jeep, my convertible Jeep. I was a busy man doing my thing. But anyway, and I was single. So, yeah, it's okay. All right, so let me get to this question here. Wait, was that a question too? Sorry, Astrid, for your loss. I'm so sorry. One of her friends passed away. Okay, Facebook friend. Yep. All right, so let me see. This is a question from the listeners. Which do you find more difficult in terms of writing a song is the question. Which do you find more difficult, the writing the bridge, the chorus, or the verse? So I'll talk about it, and I'll talk about one of my songs I wrote for the Whispers called Keep On Loving Me. When writing a song, you know, sometimes the song comes to you through one or the other, the verse, the chorus, or the bridge. It comes, that's what comes first. And so that part would be easier. But, you know, when you write a song, I found that writing this song, the verses were, in terms of the music, was easy because I tried to keep it in the same element, chorus, but the lyrical content was hard because I had to tell the whole story in one verse without telling the whole story. So I had to tell the story about what am I talking about? What does this chorus mean? Keep on loving me. What? Okay. So what am I going to say about keep on loving me? So I had to get the lyrics done in a way. And thanks to Kevin Spencer being an amazing lyricist that he is, he wrote the lyrics. So going from, you know, like telling the story, but making sure you don't say too much of the story because you got to save it for the second verse. And then you got to save it for the bridge, right? So you do the first verse, you're kind of like telling people, this is what it's all about, and this is how I'm feeling. And then the chorus comes, and you celebrate that part. And then you go to the second verse, and you're saying, and this also is why I feel this way, because you did this, or because this is happening, or this is the temperature right now, and it feels so good. And then the chorus comes again, and then you once again celebrate what you've been saying in the chorus. But then the bridge comes, and the bridge is really the bottom line of everything that you said already. It's like, okay, the bottom line to what I'm trying to tell you is this. That's the bridge. So lyrically, it can be very challenging. And it just depends on, you know, if that's your thing or not. If it's not your thing, it's challenging, you know, because everybody isn't really good at writing lyrics. Everybody's not really good at writing grooves, you know. And so whatever your forte is, it makes it a little easier for you to do those parts. But, you know, but the song has, you know, you got to be able to put all those elements together. And so and that's why sometimes you see multiple writers on songs, because there may be a track person that just really good at writing the music parts, but they don't do the other parts so good. And so they bring in a co-writer to, you know, to help to bring the song together. So it's challenging, and it's really important that we push ourselves, right? That we push ourselves to get the most out of it. And a lot of times when, you know, it's just like owning your own business. Like sometimes my dad would used to close his store earlier than the sign would say, because it was his store. And who's going to yell at him about closing earlier? He was the boss. And I used to say, Dad, why you close early? I was running over here. I wanted to see you. You were gone when I got here. So I was yelling at him indirectly, you know. But, you know, when you're the boss, you kind of do, you know, what you want to do. So you have to be really hard on yourself as a songwriter, as the boss of the song, to make sure that you are pushing yourself to that limit, so that when you take it and present it to a publisher or to an artist, or to a co-writer, that you feel good about what you did, and therefore it helps to get your point across. So different. Just there's so many elements in writing a song. So you got that, like I said, you got the lyricist part, and then the melodies to the lyrics. Somebody needs to sing those, like la 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 la. That's the melody, right? La 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 la. And then somebody got to put words to that. Girl, I've been thinking about you, girl. You know, or whatever. And then you got to put rhymes to that, you know, to make it a song kind of thing. Girl, I've been thinking and I'm thinking and I'm thinking. You know, whatever your rhyme may be. But you want to get that rhyme in there too. So there's so many different things into writing a song. But it's all beautiful and it's fun. And then once you get it, you got it. You know, but sometimes we got to go through it to get to it. And so don't be too hard on yourself and don't over criticize yourself and say, oh, I just can't do it. That's too much. I just can't. You could do it because other people have done it. So they could do it. You could do it. Right. Okay. Oh, yeah. Greg, you love my singing, don't you, Greg? I know you do. All right. So let me see. So that's pretty much that. And I want to thank you guys. We are out of time here. The show is over. It is done. I didn't even realize that. But I thank y'all for tuning in today to Solar Records Radio. Don't forget tomorrow at 2 p.m., an hour earlier, our show will be as Solar Wants to Dance. Come hang out with us and we'll have a good time. Basically, working on our cardiovascular. Let's get going. It's all up-tempo. We're hitting it hard and steady. You know, and so we appreciate you guys so much for coming on and hanging out with us and being a part of this show. And we look forward. And then on Sunday, I'll be doing the praise and worship. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Oh, amen. Amen. Can I get an amen? Yes. Amen. All right, guys. So be blessed. And remember, you're too blessed to be stressed. So don't let the devil fool you. It's all good. Anyway, so we're up and out of here. And let me see. Is there anything else? Okay. All right. So here we go, guys. God bless you. Take care. And thanks again for tuning in to Solar Records Radio. Thanks, Greg and Astrid. Thank you guys so much for all your work and stuff that you do here. And we look forward to hanging out again tomorrow. And should I sing something a cappella before we go? I mean, I know that would make a lot of people happy. Howard Hewitt was my teacher, you guys. So don't be so hard on a brother. Sheesh. Man. All right. Anyway, God bless you. And thanks for making this a love thing on Solar Records Radio.
Heart racing, flame.
Father God, we just thank you for everything. I just ask that you keep on loving my brothers and sisters and protect them and keep them safe throughout this weekend. We love you and we thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
This way back home.